Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. Today is the 16th of Ramadan, 1441, April 29th, 2021. We welcome you to this program of Fiqh. Al-Fiqh wa ala madahib al-arba'a, jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. And we have our honorable Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khairan to Mona Zaid and to our engineers. Alhamdulillah, we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And today is the 16th of Ramadan, 1442. Alhamdulillah, tonight will be the night of Badr, and that is 17th Ramadan. Tomorrow also 17th will be Ramadan, Friday, and Yomul Badr. So Noor upon Noor upon Noor. May Almighty Allah accept all our ibadat and all our actions. Alhamdulillah.
Our program today is dedicated to Ihtikaf and the last 10 days of Ramadan, and also with regards to Laylatul Qadr. So there are a few questions in which we aim to clarify. And the first question is, Mufti Sahib, what are the virtues of performing Ihtikaf?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we even answer that question, we should know the following, that itikaf is an old ibadat. We see Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that he and his beloved son Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam antahira baytiya litaifin wal akifin wal ruk'i sujood, that you Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham peace be upon him, and his beloved son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, you clean my house, that is the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa, for who? Litaifin, for the people who perform tawaf going round the Baytullah, the Kaaba, the cube day in Makkah Mukarrama, wal akifin, and those who make i'tikaf. So it shows i'tikaf was already from those days. Wal ruk'a is sujood, and those who perform ruku and sajda. Ruku is bowing down, sajda is prostrating. And this is mentioned in Surah 2, Chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse number 125. Second one, when we study Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sirah, the Adat Mubarakah of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah Munawwara, then every year then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit for itikaf the last 10 days there in Madinah Munawwara. So from the second year right up to the 10th year, because 11th year Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise took place in Rabiul Awwal before Ramadan. So it is a sunnah mu'akkadah alal kifaya. That is how the Hanafi ulama have derived this, that it is something which Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam did and remember encourage others to do. So therefore we need to understand the importance of it. Now when we practice on anyone sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah 3, Chapter 3, verse 31 informs us, fattabi'uni, follow me immaculately. I explained to you before that you have a cow, and that cow gives birth to the calf. The calf is called tabi'. So the calf will follow the mother everywhere. So we must follow Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all walks of life. Then yuhbibkumullah, we become the beloved of Almighty Allah. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah Jalla wala will forgive your sins. And there are other ahadith, but they are weak ahadith, but in fada'il virtues is acceptable. When a person sits for itikaf, a manitaka fa ashran fi Ramadan, then kana lahu ka hajjatayn wa attain, you will receive the reward of two Hajj, two Umrah, and so forth. So you will find this in the books of Fazail and so forth. So you know that Mufti Taqi Sahib has written a wonderful book, that in Urdu it is Ahkam-e-Etikaf, and in English also it is translated the Rules of Etikaf. So you will find all the references there and so forth. It is a weak hadith, but in Fazail and Virtues it is acceptable.
Mufti Sahib, what should one do during i'tikaf?
Remember, before we come to that, the question should be posed that when does i'tikaf start? So remember that in South Africa, if you look at it, so this coming Monday, so that will be the 20th fast. Then Monday, before Maghrib, before sunset, the mu'takifin, the brothers who made intention for i'tikaf, so they should be in the masjid already, before sunset. And then, mashallah, make their niyat and so forth. And when the sun sets, then the i'tikaf time will start and continue right till 30 days or 29 days. And thereafter, if the crescent is sighted, so it will be 9 days or 10 days. But they make intention of 10 days, mashallah. And if it's 29 days, they will still receive the reward of 30 days, meaning all 10 days. So that is how you start the i'tikaf. Second one, if people are in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Aqsa Mubarak, or any other country, and you are following that calendar, then Sunday night, Sunday evening. So before Maghrib, you must be in your masjid already, and remember that is where your itikaf will start and so forth. Now that is for the men. And remember, I already alluded and referred to that according to the Hanafi scholars, it is Sunnah Mu'akkadah al-Kifaya that every masjid, listen to the word carefully, every masjid should have minimum one male who is sane, who is mature, and obviously he must be fasting, and he must sit there in the masjid in seclusion, isolation. So that is called the i'tikaf. Now what about the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbalis? They say that i'tikaf is sunnah. So if people do so, they'll be rewarded, and if nobody does it, then no one really is guilty of a sin, according to majority scholars. And the Hanafis say, in that town, in that place, there is a masjid, and no one sits, then kulluhum athimun, all of them will be guilty of a major, major sin. That is according to the Hanafi scholars and jurors. So that you call thamaratul ikhtilaf, that what is the difference then, when you speak one side Hanafis, and other side the three scholars, the three jurors. So that will be the difference, whether it is a sin or not on the people. If Allah forbid, the i'tikaf, the sunnah i'tikaf, 10 days is omitted. And thereafter, remember what is the wisdom of this i'tikaf. See, very easy. Look at the beauty of the Islamic calendar and you will see that the first 20 days of Ramadan, what are we saying via our actions? Ya Allah, Jalla wa Ala, for your love, for your pleasure, for your rida, as we say, that you must be pleased with us, that we will not eat, we will not drink, we will not fulfill conjugal relationship with our wives during the fasting hours and so forth. Now there's a progression in love. Ya Allah, I'm leaving my wife, I'm leaving my children, I'm leaving my shop, I'm leaving my job. Day and night I will be your guest in your house. So that progression in love. So that is what i'tikaf is. Then lo and behold, when the crescent is sighted, subhanallah, for Shawwal, then a new season starts. Al-Hajju Ashurum Ma'lumat, the months of Hajj, remember they are well known. So what indeed are the months of Hajj? Min Eidin ila Eidin, from one Eid, Eidul Fitr, to Eidul Adha. So if you want the reference open, Surah 2, chapter 2, verse number 197. So the months of Hajj are well known, Shawwal, Zulqadah, first 10 days of Zulhijjah. So easy way to remember, min Eidin ila Eidin, from Eidul Fitr to Eidul Adha. Now there's a progression in love. The heart is saturated with the love of Almighty Allah. So remember, what will the person now do? Ya Allah, I am prepared to make every sacrifice. My hair I will shave, my clothes I will remove, I'll wear the two towels, and my socks and shoes are unimportant. I will wear the sandals or come barefoot, Ya Allah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Whatever you say, I am prepared to do, I'm ready to do, Ya Allah, for your love, your pleasure, to please Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what must that person do in itikaf? Remember Quran tilawat, Durood Sharif, read some good books, and so forth and so on. And what must a person not do? Remember, which is so rife and rampant, people taking their iPad, people taking their cell phones, people taking, you must remember, books that are un-Islamic, people killing time and wasting time and smoking and all that. When they go to toilet and so forth, bathroom, then they want to smoke. So all those are unacceptable. You're desecrating the sanctity of the masjid, laughing, mocking and so forth, joking right inside the masjid. So remember, simple answer, what must the mu'taqif do? He must do the ta'at, all the actions that are permissible. And remember, what must he not do? Ijtinabun nawahi, all the actions that are haram he must not do, and it's worse in the masjid, because we told people we're sitting for itikaf, but now a person swears outside the masjid and a person swears inside the masjid. Obviously inside the masjid is much worse, and for the ladies, they will sit at home. We'll discuss that just now, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, I'm a person who is working and I won't be able to get the opportunity to sit for the sunnah itikaf. If I sit for the nafil, will I still get the rewards, and how do the laws differ?
So remember that one itikaf is the sunnat itikaf. Day and night you are in the masjid, as I told you, the starting time and the ending time, and that's why it is a little kifaya, that few brothers only must go. Not you have 100, 200 people in one masjid, and in the other masjids there are nobody there. So that is not what Islam is teaching us. Many a time we find our brothers travel from far and distant areas, and they come there by their sheikh, or they come by the peer sahib and what have you, but in their own town there's nobody sitting. So for him, that brother, it was much more meritorious to have sat in that masjid there, because there's no one sitting, than going to this place and that place and so forth. So sometimes our people have their priorities totally upside down. Now you want to sit, mashallah, so Almighty Allah Jalla Wala taught us, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha, Surah 2, Chapter 2, Verse 286, that Allah has not burdened any person, any personality, more than his ability, capability, capacity. So in that way there, that the people must know that whatever you can do, you do. So nafil itikaf, you call it. Nafil itikaf is not for Ramadan only, throughout the year. Whenever we enter the masjid, you say, Allah maftahli abwaba rahmatik. Oh, beloved Allah, open the doors of mercy for me. And learn the full dua. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We take the name of Almighty Allah. We send salutations, peace upon the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter that we say, Allahumma aftahli abwaba rahmatik. And then you make itikaf, intention, nawaitul itikaf ma dumtu fil masjid. Ya Allah, I make intention as long as I'm in the masjid. Let me give you 2-3 easy examples. This is throughout the year, not only Ramadan. You made intention you will spend time in the masjid asr to maghrib, and then after half an hour or so you had to leave the masjid. Permissible, no problem, all flexible, no sin, no nothing. Thereafter a person came and he made intention for 5, 10, 15 minutes, then the Maulana, the Sheikh, the Mufti Sahib, Qari Sahib, Imam Sahib was delivering a talk, so he found it so interesting, he stayed for 1 hour or so, or 2 hours. So remember, so now you extended your intention, so all that is fine, there's no problem with that. And remember, we beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness, that Ya Allah, Bismillah wa salatu wa salam wa la rasulillah, Rabbi gfirli dhunubi, Ya Allah, forgive me my sins, Allah maftahli abwaba rahmatik. If you do not know the intention in Arabic, any language, Ya Allah, you don't know nawaitul i'tikafa ma dumtu fil masjid, Ya Allah, as long as I'm in the masjid, I make intention for nafil itikaf. Her Hazrat Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Zakariya Anwar Allah Marqadahu, for years and years before entering the masjid, just entering would make intention. One day one student and one person asked him, Hazrat, kitne martaba aapne ye niyat ki? To farmaya, he asked him, how many times you made this? He said, Allah ki ya ek bhi kabul ho jai, to behra paar hai. So one time also is accepted, so then we successful. So that is what we should try and do, inshallah. And in Ramadan, obviously, the nafil etikaf, the reward will be much more compared to the other 11 months.
Mufti Saab, I have children at home, and my intention is to sit for etikaf, but sometimes I free my wife so she can perform the tarawih and that. Should I still go ahead and sit for itikaf?
For the case like that, you must remember, my advice will be that you should not go and sit for itikaf. It means if you're going to sit for itikaf, then your wife will not be performing tarawih. Your wife will be shirking many other responsibilities. So you, in life, you should work on the principle of al-aham fal-aham. What is the most important action at that time? What is the most important issue at that time? So for you to sit for etikaf, you know the other brothers are sitting there. So rather you go sit for nafil etikaf, and it's flexible anytime, daytime, nighttime, and so forth. For you, the non-Muslims who don't understand etikaf, it means seclusion, isolation in the masjid. Daytime, nighttime, you are in the masjid, in the mosque. Thereafter, remember that at least you come home, you have supper, meals with your wife, and thereafter that she can read the tarawih and so forth, and you go to the masjid and so. So that is my advice to you in that scenario. We should always think of them as well. We can't be so selfish. No, I'm going to sit in the masjid. Never mind, you must your tarawih, and that's not my business. That is not what Islam teaches us. Husband-wife relationship is a partnership. It's not a dictatorship. Many a time our husband, Muslim husbands, they don't understand the term walirrijali alayhinna daraja, that yes, Almighty Allah made you the Amir. Allah gave you the Imarat. There's no doubt about that. You're the head of the family. But Imarat means that you have added responsibilities. It does not mean you are the Amir and you are the Amir. Amir means that you are the person who must worry about your wife, your children, everybody. So that is what is meant there, Surah 2, verse 228. And Amir means dictator. So if you just go for etikaf, leave your wife, leave your children, not bothered about them, and their security is compromised, they won't read tarawih, they won't do that. So then you are the dictator, and you're a sinner also. And there's no shortage of the dictators today. So remember, Amir, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. What Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, hadith in Mishkat Sharif, the leader, the Sayyid, will be the Khadim. He will have 20, 50 responsibilities. Others will have 5, 10 responsibilities. That is the Islamic meaning of being the Amir, the captain, the head, and the leader. Not like what we think today, that we sit on our laurels and think of Hadi, and then we start dictating to everybody. That is not what Islam is teaching us.
Mufti Saab, a person is worried about his cleanliness and he takes a bath every day. In itikaf, is this permissible?
Remember, this is another issue, that the sisters want to sit for sunnat etikaf, the sisters want to sit for sunnat etikaf, the men want to sit for sunnat etikaf, but every day they're going for shower, every day they're going to take bath, all this, your etikaf is broken. Nobody will allow that. Etikaf means you must be in the masjid. It's not some picnic and holiday. It's sad but true. Sometimes you ask a youngster, why you sit in this masjid particularly for etikaf? He say that the chows, the variety of food, and that you don't even get at home. So at the end, we'll get 20, 30 course meal here. So if that is the intention, now you tell me, what etikaf is that when the intention is so tainted and polluted and so forth? And then the brothers want to sit in that masjid that got all the facilities, every day go take a shower. Then some Maulvi will tell them, no, when you go to the toilet, just go to the shower, take a bath, and come back. You call it healers. You call it loopholes, shortcuts, and so forth. So remember, a nation that practice on loopholes and skullduggery and shortcuts, Allah Jalla wa Ala made them monkeys, Quran says. Kunu qiradatan khasi'in. So Allah Ta'ala made the Jews monkeys because they used to play with the Sabbath. You must remember that the Saturday was the big day for them and no fishing was allowed. So they worked out ways and means that they say, no, we will do the fishing and so forth. So Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala that made them into monkeys. So we should be very, very careful. And Almighty Allah mentions us in Surah 2, Surah Baqarah and verse number 65. Another place also Allah Ta'ala speaks of this. So therefore for us, we need to be very careful. Rather, so make, therefore for the women, I always recommend 5-10% you can take out the ladies. Otherwise 80-90% they break their etiquette every day. So they will go to the phone rings, they want to go to the other room. Or the bell rings, they want to go there. Then the roti is burning, something is burning on the stove, let me run there. So all that will break your etiquette. Remember when your sunnat etiquette, because you got your one room, that's your boundary. So similarly, you the man, before you enter for etiquette, you should go to the trustees, go to the honorable imams and whoever is responsible there, ask them, by I'm sitting here for etiquette in this masjid, tell me what is the boundary of the masjid. It don't mean the whole building is the boundary. So the boundary you will see. Therefore I always say to the honorable trustees, honorable respected imams, that you all should have conspicuous boards, and the people who are there must know, especially during the last 10 days, this is the boundary of the masjid, this is the boundary of the masjid, so they know inside that area they can sit and so forth. So this business to go take a bath and a shower and so forth, not permissible. Etiquette will be null and void and broken. Yes, it does get happen. A person is sitting in etikaf in the masjid, and while sleeping in the afternoon or at night or whenever, then he experiences a wet dream. So now in a case like that, ghusl is compulsory. To take a bath is compulsory. So remember, then you will go and you will take the compulsory bath, and then you come back to the masjid and your etikaf is valid. Let me just elaborate on this woman's etikaf a little bit. Now the woman asks, you must remember that we want to sit for etikaf. These are the conditions before you even think of sitting for etikaf. If you are married, your husband has to give permission. If you are not married, your father has to give permission. So see, because you will be encroaching on your husband's rights. Because now he can't come to you nighttime and fulfill conjugal rights. وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. So remember that during etikaf, no hanky-panky business, no husband-wife relationship. So all that is very, very clearly enshrined in a noble Quran. So therefore, his permission is compulsory. Likewise, you, the daughter, you must take your father's permission, because they need you in the house, make this, make that. So you take their permission. So that's number one. Number two, you must be free from your menses and nifas. You can't be sitting for etikaf, old lady, and you are experiencing menses after 1 day, 2 days, then that etikaf is not valid. Or you are in nifas, that you postnatal, you gave birth, and you can't do that. So that also unacceptable, not permissible. Next one, remember, where must you sit? Only Hanafi scholars and jurors say that the place for etikaf for the ladies is buyut, is the house, is the rooms, and so forth. Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's reject that, and they say no. That if a lady sits, she must sit in the masjid. So where they got a special sect. But in this day, that's very dangerous. You know, one man there, one woman, what can happen? So therefore, we say, no, don't go. So it's not even compulsory for the ladies. Nobody says it's compulsory for the ladies. So the Hanafi way will be, you sister, you demarcate. This room here is where your mu'takaf is. Mu'takaf, the place of etikaf. Then you won't leave that room unless for hajat. Hajat means a shari'i hajat, a need according to sharia. You have to go to toilet and so forth, relieve yourself. So that's a need, obviously. definitely. Or, for example, you have wet dream and so forth. So it can happen to a lady also. So remember, ghusl is compulsory, then she goes. So these type of issues. But all these other things, that the roti is burning, or the samosas, bhajjas I must cook, or I must go there, open the door when the bell rings, or I must answer the phone, the landline is there. So all that, your etiquette will be broken and not acceptable. So therefore, my advice to you ladies, that rather you'll just sit for nafil, and that will be best for you. Unless you are very, very, mashallah, well-versed, you know the laws properly, and so forth and so on, then it is fine that you sit the sunnat etikaf at home.
Mufti Sahib, while we're busy at the topic, can a woman fulfill domestic duties in itikaf?
So you must remember, it all depends what you mean by the domestic duties, that from there where she is sitting, so she can, delegate, she can tell the maid, you do this, tell her daughter do this, tell her son do that, all that is fine. But she can be going now after 1 hour to the kitchen, then after 2 hours to the dining room, then after 3 hours to the pantry and scullery and all that. So all that will nullify, you must remember, the etikaf. And today, she can use the cell phone, although in a masjid, we are dead against this. The etikaf will be valid, but look at the harms, that your phone will be ringing, and today messages come, make ping, ping, all this noise it makes. Then what about the object, the photos and snaps and all the images coming through? And sometimes it is of women or men who are very, very badly, scantily clad, and so forth. So instead of showing respect to the masjid, you're desecrating the masjid, and that's a major, major sin. Surah 22, Surah Hajj, verse 32, Almighty Allah teaches us, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ, whosoever that shows respect to the symbols and landmarks of Almighty Allah, then remember that's a sign of the taqwa and piety of that person there. See authentic hadith. Even Sheikh Albani said it's authentic. And it's mentioned in Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, من تفلى تجاه القبلة جاء يوم القيامة وتفله بين عينيه. People who spit in the direction of the Qibla. You know, people don't show respect, they just spit and so forth. Tomorrow, on a day of justice, tomorrow, on a day of judgment, remember, they will come, and that spit and saliva will be on their forehead, between their eyes, to humiliate and disgrace them. Why are you showing disrespect to the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah, although you're 100,000 kilometers away? Imagine. Now this we write inside the house of Allah, fi buyutin adhin Allah. So Allah Ta'ala called the houses, the masajid, the house of Allah. So we must remember utmost reverence, respect, all that. One day I remember we went to a masjid and so forth. You see youngsters sitting there. One guy got a microwave there. One guy got the fridge there. One guy got the soccer ball there. So I asked, what you play football in a masjid or what? So they're all looking down. So a big jowl and a party. So then I asked your father or somebody, for what you'll send your sons here? Say, no, it was chutti time, holiday time. So we said, best place for them, let them all go to the masjid. Now imagine 5, 7 youngsters, 10 youngsters, and then they had no real other person responsible. So what a record they will kick up. So we're not against them sitting, but we say, teach them the adab and etiquettes. And if you want to, then one responsible brother, somebody elderly should be there also, so that people don't make the masjid a soccer ground. So let's hit some goals here in the masjid, and all these things happens, Allah forbid. So remember, we must remember these basic rules where and etiquettes, where we show the utmost respect and adab to the masjid. Allah give us tawfiq.
Alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we return back to this program, and we have a question about what happens if a person has to leave the masjid for an important duty or responsibility. For example, his father has passed away. Mufti sir.
In a case like that, where a person is sitting, obviously during the last 10 days of Ramadan, and they made intention for all 10 days, sunnat etikaf, what we call, and then a real emergency came, the mother fell very ill, or the father passed away, or something, or he himself got very, very ill or sick and had to be hospitalized or sent home or something. So all these things can happen and have happened. So what do you do in a case like that? So remember, I told you before, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, the etikaf for the last 10 days is sunnah. So for them, if that person has broken his etikaf, he goes home or he passed away or whatever happens, so in a case like that, then there's nothing, there's no qada, there's nothing of that sort there. So end of the story. That is majority jurists and scholars, al-a'imma al-thalatha, namely the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, rahimahullah. When it comes to the Hanafis, so this is a very important question, and you brothers and sisters, both of you must know that, especially those of you who follow the Hanafi school, and you are going to sit this year for etikaf, the sunnah etikaf, full 10 days and so forth. So in a case like that, now certain emergency takes place and you have to break your etikaf. So on the 23rd day, 24th, 27th day, 28th day, for example, so I mean things could happen. So Allah forbid, but we ask Allah for afiyat, safety, comfort, goodness. So, but it happened. Now what? So Hanafis say that qada is compulsory for one day. That's the fatwa, the verdict. That qada is compulsory for one day. So whether you make the qada during Ramadan or you do the qada post-Ramadan, so it's fine after Eid and so forth. Now how will you make the qada? So before Maghrib, you come into the masjid, before sunset, and you stay in the masjid till the next day sunset, and you must be fasting. So if you are making the qada, the incident happened on the 23rd, 24th night, for example, or 24th day, whatever, and you had to leave the masjid, somebody passed away, somebody was very ill, or what have you. So during that Ramadan, you just come and make one day, you understand, Maghrib to Maghrib, you are fasting, so that will be qada. And you want to stay more days, that's fine, but it'll become nafil etikaf now. So that is the first scenario. Second scenario will be that this emergency took place. Now during Ramadan, you could not make the qada, so you can't make the qada on Eid day because you have to be fasting. So remember, from the 2nd of Shawwal, 3rd Shawwal, whenever, so during Shawwal, Zulqada, Zulhijjah, Muharram, whenever, the sooner, the earlier you do it, the better it is. So from Maghrib to Maghrib, you will come to the masjid, and the fasting time, then you make suhud, tahajjud, sehri, all that, and you will fast. So that is one day qada. But one day qada doesn't mean from fajr time and that till suns. No, maghrib to maghrib, 24 hours, you have to be in the masjid. So that is the, and you must be fasting as well. And one qada only is compulsory, not 5, 6, 7 days if you broke it on the 21st or 22nd or 23rd, and that only one day qada is compulsory.
Mufti Sahib, we're reaching the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and what is the virtue of Laylatul Qadr?
Remember, these are two separate topics. We must not mix the two up here. So number one is that what are the virtues of the last 10 nights? So that's separate. Nabi alayhi salatu salam, when you study the ahadith mubarakah, inna nabiya sallallahu alayhi sallam yajtahidu fil ashril awakhir ma la yajtahidu fi ghayrihi. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam used to exert himself much more during the last 10 nights compared in the last 10 days compared to the first 20 days. So each one of us must reschedule, reprogram ourselves and make a new timetable, review it, that okay, my first 20 days I was reading Quran Sharif, one juz, one para, one part. Now in the last 10, let me start reading a little bit more. I was giving some charity. So the last 10 days, last 10 nights, let me give more. So during the the last 10 nights and 10 days, so let me, inshallah, read more qadha salat. We got qadha, so start reading more and more qadha. So if you up to date with salat, so let me start reading more nafil salat. So that is the meaning of that hadith there. So in different fields and different way, we go the extra mile. So that is one masla. Second masla is this, that remember that the odd nights, 21st night, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, so any one of them can be Laylatul Qadr, the night of majesty, the night of destiny, the night of power. All these translations are acceptable. You must remember that. And now we must remember Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Il tamisuha fil witri e fil ashril awakhir," that you look and search for it during the last 10 nights, but the odd nights. So therefore, we say that people that say even nights 22, 24, 26, 28, you can take but easy. But the odd nights, and for Allah's sake, I beg you, I appeal to you, that shaitan box the TV, make sure you throw it away or you switch it off. You can't be watching TV on all these great, great auspicious nights and all that, remember that. Say, no, that Maulana is giving a lecture. So the Maulana also, remember, is dwallu wa adwallu. He is astray and leading others astray. When Quran Kareem states, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, tell the believing men to lower their gazes, and tell the believing women, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. This is Quran. Surah 24, verses 30, 31. So how can we justify that? So Allah give hidayah to all. So remember that is unacceptable. So stay away from the vices and so forth. Then look at the akhlaq-e kareema, the noble example of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the last 10 days, 10 nights. Idha dakhala al-ashrul awakhir. And when you must remember that the last 10 nights came and so forth, what would Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Open Musnad Ahmad, Mishkat Sharif, so many hadith kitab. Ahya laylahu. The major portion of the night, Nabi alayhi salam stayed awake in ibadat. Dua, crying, tilawat of Quran, tawbah, istighfar. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam don't have to make tawbah, istighfar. He was, he is, he will always be the most beloved to Almighty Allah, protected from all sins and everything. But ta'aliman lihadil ummah, to teach this ummah. The first personality to enter Jannah and Paradise is the Master Habibuna, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why all this? To set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Ahya laylahu wa ayqadha ahlahu. And what Nabi alayhi salam would do, the house and the masjid were attached. So wake the family up, the family members, wake up, wake up, wake up. So we only mustn't be in ibadat, get the family environment also. Do ta'aleem, take Riyadu Salihin, take Hazrat Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawwarullah's kitab, the Fazail works, and read it. And then remember, washadna mi'izarahu. Then Nabi alayhi salam would not go to the wives during that last 10 nights because of etikaf and so forth. It doesn't mean you can't go to your wife or your husband at night. You can. So what I suggest, the even nights you can go to your, you must remember, wives or husband and so forth. But the odd nights, try and abstain. Not that it's haram, it's permissible, but inshallah, then you can focus more and more on your ibadat as well. I give you one wonderful incident regarding Laylatul Qadr. It's really something, you know. MashaAllah, there is a sheikh, you must remember, Sheikh Hamad Hamada. So he wrote, you must remember that, you know, about Laylatul Qadr. So what is Laylatul Qadr and so forth? I have it here somewhere in my library. But every year I mention it, so we remember it also with Allah's help. So it is the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He is the Khalifa Amirul Mu'mineen. Now, during Ramadan, they call up an emergency meeting. Senior Sahaba all there. And one young person, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise took place, Hajjatul Wida took place, mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, walam yahtalim, he was not even baligh, was not mature. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who ruled the Ummah from the 13th year to the ending of the 23rd year. First of Muharram, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa and the third successor of the Master alayhi salam. So let's say it was the 16th year, 17th, 18th year, so around there. So he was very, very young, 15 years old or so, you understand, 16, 17 years old. So some Sahaba, when they saw him, they asked Amirul Mu'minin, what does Fatah, what does youngster is doing here? So Sayyidina Umar was a genius, he kept quiet. What is on the agenda? We say what's on the menu. So what is on the agenda? Mata Laylatul Qadri. When will Laylatul Qadr be? That is on the agenda. So he said, Umar radiallahu an is the leader, Khalifa. He asked the Sahabi, that Sahabi, that all of them gave their opinion. Then he asked the youngster, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, ma ra'yuka ya fata? What is your opinion regarding Laylatul Qadr? He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you all agree it is in the last 10 nights and it will be the odd nights, iltamisuha fil ashri al-awakhir, fil witri min al-ashri al-awakhir, and words like that. So remember, so which night? So I say the 27th night. So why? You can't manidda'a shay'an fa'alay dalil. If you claim something, you have to substantiate, corroborate it with some evidence and proof. So he said, let's look at Quran Sharif. Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawat. Allah created seven heavens. Wa min al-ardi mithlahun. Allah created seven earths. Look at the tatweer of the janin and look at the evolution of the fetus in the womb of the mother. Thus today, past 50 years, the doctors came to know. Quran spoke of this more than 1400 years ago. That Almighty Allah speaks, ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما. So read Surah 23, Chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun, verses 12, 13, 14, 15. Seven stages this human being goes through, and then he is born. فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. Then look at the food, Almighty Allah blessed us with. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا وَإِنَبًا وَقَدْبًا وَزَيْتُونَا. So if you look at the ending of Abasa wa Tawalla, so you will see that Almighty Allah mentioned seven food, and the last one was Abba. Abba is for the animals, but for human being is seven. So when we perform tawaf, how many ashwat, how many rounds we make? Seven. And we make Safa Marwa, Sa'i, seven. So like that, he continued. The Sahaba now were just looking at him. So Sayyidina Umar was smiling. You objected what I brought this youngster. See, Bahrul Ulum. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Allahumma allimhu ta'wil. Teach him the interpretation of the Quran Sharif. Wa faqihhu fi deen. And bless him, Ya Allah, with profound knowledge. So remember, that is Abdullah ibn Abbas. So we will say, and that is the stance of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that every night the possibility is Imam Shafi. When Imam Shafi was asked, Mata Laylatul Qadr? He said, 21st night, 23rd night. So how come we have the difference? Somebody say 21, 23, somebody say 25, 27. So everybody speaks according to their own experiences. So therefore, then you must remember, we say most probably it is 27 night. Then you get one youngster, a sharpshooter, you see. They think they're very clever, you know. He says, no, but how can it be 27 night? That when we have 27 night here in South Africa, they in Makkah, Medina, Aqsa is 28 night. So I asked him, how many sons are there? S-U-N, son. So remember that if you take South Africa and New Zealand, so when we are having daytime, they're having nighttime. When they're having nighttime, we have daytime. 10 hours difference. And if you go to other countries, you must remember we visited so many time difference there are, but it's one sun. So S-U-N, so everywhere sunrise, sunset, all different. So remember, that is the Qudrat, the power of Almighty Allah, how the sun is one and everything works with harmony. You make Qadr, Mallam Ya'rif Laylatul Qadri. Then, that person did not understand what is Laylatul Qadr, that who did not appreciate that night and so forth. So therefore, Allah revealed a surah, chapter number 97, remember, entire surah, lay suratul qadr, so that this ummah makes, you must remember, qadr and appreciate that night.
Mufti Saab, what should be the program on Laylatul Qadr?
Remember that, that's a good question. Go to, you must remember Surah Qadr, and you will see yourself what the program should be. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us, you must remember, in Surah 97, 5 verses, and what did Almighty Allah say? Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. That we revealed it, the Quran Sharif, on the night of destiny, majesty, power. So, revealed it, meaning the commencement of revelation. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what will make you understand, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. Is superior, better than 1,000 months, subhanallah. So, Mu'ta Malik has the sabab and nuzul. In Imam Malik's word, Mu'ta, Sahaba were discussing, they said, in the previous generations, nations, people had long, long life. You see, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, Quran says, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. 950 years he lived. That's Quran. So anyway, so people live 100 years, 1,000 years. So they will beat us. So Allah says, no, I give you a present, a gift. Because you are the ummati of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. So you saying those people live for 1,000 years, so I give you 1,000 months, and better than that, so remember more than 83 years of accepted ibadat. And if you just look inside the Quran, Allah put in my head now, so start counting, Mawlana Zahid, Laylatul Qadr, right? Or Laylatul Qadr, whatever you want to say. Lam, Ya, Lam, Ta. Alif, Lam, Qaf, Dal, Ra. So count the word, the letters there. How many letters there are? 9. And how many times is it mentioned Laylatul Qadr? Thrice. So 9 times 3? 27. So ulama like that, you must remember, they have mentioned so many signs that inshallah, Laylatul Qadr, remember, is on the 27th night. Now we must remember Laylatul Qadr. What is the meaning of Qadr? One meaning ulama said, ta'zeem, the night of majesty, the night of honor. Second meaning, Laylatul Qadri, Laylatul Taqdeer. So it is the night of destiny. Almighty Allah wrote everybody's Taqdeer already. But remember, sometimes and occasionally, Tirmidhi's hadith, Ad-Dua wa Yaruddul Qadr, that dua can change the Taqdeer. Person wants to go for Hajj, person wants to get married, person wants to do this, something permissible, so you cry, you beg, and subhanallah. Now what happens? تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. Now ye ulama also and people, many of them, they mistranslate it. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, the angels descend, the angels come down. That is wrong, the translation is not correct. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ means the angels come down the whole night in droves and droves and droves in groups. Kubatum minasama, that they come down, you must remember, in big, big, that is. So tanazzalu means the continuous process, that is. Therefore, when you study the Salafi Salih, Thabit Bunani, Rahimahullah, and them who are min kibari tabi'in, they met Sahaba, they used to take a bath on later on 27 night, and the odd nights, and especially 27 night, and they used to wear very nice clothes. People ask them, what happened? Eid came? He said, no. We took a bath. We put nice itar and fragrance and we wore these nice clothes. Why? لِكَثْرَةِ نُزُولِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Thousands and millions of angels are coming down. So we want to honor them and show our respect to them. It's not sunnah. I'm just telling you how the awliyaullah did. So remember, so it's lesson for us not to waste our time. So it's Laylatul Taqdeer, the night of destiny. Then Jibreel, Ruh, the Amirul Malaika, the archangel comes down. Fiha on that night, bi'idni Rabbim min kulli amr. Regarding all issues. So you beg Allah, you marry 10 years, 20 years, no children. Ask Allah. You go, your business is going down. Ask Allah. Your health is failing. Ask Allah. Anything that you ask, that is there. That's permissible. When we finish our first salat, what do we say? Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Ya Allah, your attribute is salam, and from you the peace, safety, security comes. So Almighty Allah announces that night from Maghrib time, sunset, right till the true dawn, till Sehri time ends. Salamun hiya hatta matla'il fajr. This salam and peace upon you from Maghrib, sunset, right till matla'il fajr, till fajr time starts, fasting time starts. See the beauty of the Quran. Now the alim, the Arab alim, translated it. He say, O Ummah, O Muslim brother, sister, child, do you know what is the meaning of this verse? Allah's attribute is salam. Imagine the president, prime minister, takes my name and says that I convey my regards to him. We will be elated and delighted. Yeah, the King of Kings, Almighty Allah, is saying, لِكُلِّ abdin wa amatin, that for every male and female slave who is in the ibadat of Allah, as-salamu yuqri'uka as-salam. Allah is salam, and Allah is conveying His salams to you. So what more do you want then? So remember, don't waste time and kill time. Use that time, that shed tears, cry, Allah se mangna hai, Allah se manwana hai. So beg Almighty Allah, and beg Almighty Allah for decisions in our favor as well. And remember, never forget the Haramain Sharifain. The politics will continue. That we're not interested in now. We interested that it must always be in the hands of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So Allah protect Makkah Mukarramah Haram, Madinah Munawwara Haram, the Haramain Sharifain. Allah protect Majlul Aqsa, Palestine. Allah grant our Mujahideen victory. Almighty Allah make it easy for the Usara and Yatama, all our refugees, all our orphans, we in our beautiful country, South Africa. Allahumma aminna fi awtanina. Ya Allah, that you grant us safety, security in our countries, in our places, wherever we are. And we end today's lesson, inshallah, with the wonderful dua which we did in Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12. Chapter 12 is Surah Yusuf, verse 64. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is the best one for protection, and He Almighty to protect us, and the most merciful one to show mercy. So we thank all the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal, and we thank MashaAllah our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, and of the Capital Group and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and our brother Hafiz Shabir Basha and the Ansar team. And we thank you also, Maulana Zaid, MashaAllah. Allah Jalla Wala accept whatever we are doing, and Allah Ta'ala accept us for His deen, and make our khatima on Iman, Barakallah, on Islam and Iman. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, pearls being transmitted here. And we say Jazakumullah to you, Mufti Saab, as well. Inshallah, we will continue the next program. And we say Jazakumullah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Allah. Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.